Good morning and welcome to Worship and Praise. How are you today? It's a beautiful Sunday. And if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. Did you notice just a faint, slight aroma this morning? There are fresh baked cinnamon rolls. And I have to tell you that just for you, I did a quality control this morning on the first batch. So, after worship, you have a real treat in store for you, and we appreciate the Teague class and Christy doing this, and a special treat for us. This evening, Asbury's Got Talent, wonderful lineup for you, a lot of great acts, and check out the auction items, wonderful things there. Also, Change the World Day registration for our three mission projects. There's a sign-up table by the coffee in the Wilson Activity Center. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Please look at the youth section, too, in your bulletin this morning. And our fellowship of congratulations to the Nobles. They're proud grandparents of Stella Grace Luft. So when you see them, congratulations to the Nobles. So let's take a moment and greet one another. As we stand, will you join with me in the call to worship? Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us worship and give thanks unto Him.
He is the way,
the truth, and the life, both now and forevermore.
Draw me near, O Lord, and heal this soul.
friends this morning? Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good morning, Lexi. I have some stuff in my bag. Can you help me figure out what this might belong to? Dogs. Let's see what else I have in here. You hold that, Colin? You hold it? What is that?
A dog ball. Dog ball.
A tennis ball. What's this?
Collar.
A collar.
And
what is that? A bowl. What do we do with these things? We put food in it. What do we do with all of these things? They're to take care of what?
Dogs
take care of animals. Have you ever had to leave your animal with somebody because they went on a trip? Because you went on a trip, but you have to leave your animal with someone? Yeah? How was that like? Yeah, it's sort of lonely for them. Well, I'm someone that people leave their animals with whenever they have to go on trips. They tell me how to feed the animals, what treats to give them, how to play with them. And I take care of the animals because they're special. Can I have the ball back on? Awesome. Guess what? Jesus also told Peter to feed his sheep. Now, what kind of sheep is he talking about? Lexi. What kind of sheep was Jesus talking about? Was he talking about the sheep that go baa? Was he? You think so? What do you think? What kind of sheep was Jesus talking about?
Us.
Say it again.
Us.
You're right. Jesus was talking about us, his followers, because Jesus was going back to see his heavenly Father, and he needed someone to watch over us like Pastor Mary watches over us. How can we feed Jesus' sheep now? Anybody know? What can we do? Can we pray for people? Yeah. Can we tell them about Jesus? All right, let's pray. Dear God, help us to take care of our animals. Help us to take care of your sheep. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in our bulletin this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Merciful and loving God, in this season of resurrection, we gather in the hope of new life. Come stand among us in this place as Christ stood among the disciples. And feed us, O God, as he fed the disciples. Open our minds to new understandings of your word and will for us. Open our hearts to new avenues to tell the resurrection story, to offer hope and love to a hurting world. Our Father, we lift to you our concerns this morning, most especially those affected by the tornadoes and loss of life and loss of property. So often we read and see news reports of storms like this, but this time it strikes right at the core of our being, and it lays heavily on our hearts, because people that we know and love and care about have been affected. We grieve with those who've lost loved ones, homes, and livelihoods, and we ask that your strong arms of love wrap around them and give them strength in these times. May all of us let our faith be bigger than our fears. Help us to not forget that you are always there and that you are bigger than any storm that might encompass us in our lives. After all, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So help us to not forget that you are always there and that you are that bigger than any storm. We're grateful, dear God, for the first responders who gave up fear and instead gave into hope to rescue others. We're grateful for all those who've rushed to help protect them. We're grateful for those who pledged their resources to bring comfort. We're grateful for churches and those who have flung open their doors to be homes for the homeless. We cannot fathom the grief that's being experienced in this time. Call us away from the simple answers and responses that cannot heal wounds so deep. Keep us instead to the hope that is in you, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of new life. And send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell among all of us and within us now and always. And our prayer is that as we leave this place today, may we make a difference in someone's life, that they may come to know your redeeming love and put their trust in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who brings us healing, the one who brings us hope, and the one who leads us into life and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We have all been concerned about the events of last Sunday in Bologna, Mayflower, and Ferndale. And thanks to your previous generosity, Thursday the care team delivered over 75% of the supplies in the Good Samaritan Closet to Christ United Methodist Church, a staging location for supplies. We have been in constant contact with Brother Nathan about his and Lynn's needs and that of his church. And after visiting with him Friday, he said that so far they've been triaging the situation. And when they have a full scope of their needs, he will let us know. The Asbury family will be ready to assist him in site-specific projects. And in the meantime, donations can be made to UMCOR. UMCOR is already there and has been there. 100% of your donation goes to the relief effort. We will continue to monitor the situation, and we pray for all those affected by this devastating tragedy. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to share out of our resources with those in need. Call us to use our hands and feet to act in recovery efforts and in arms that reach out in love and compassion. Guide our hearts to remember all who have lost so much. Use all that we have and are in your service. Amen. Thank you.
remain standing for our hymn and meditation, hymn number 344, Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore. If you will notice, the first print that you see is Spanish. So look below and find the English text, unless you are fluent in Spanish, and you're welcome to sing that. And then on the second page at the bottom, you will find verses 3 and 4.
I've always loved that hymn, especially when I preach about one of the fishing stories in the Gospels. One of the reasons I love the hymn is to watch the congregation, especially the choir, because they begin to rock. And Caesarea Gabarain, who wrote the music and the words, must have known that. And I can't help but think he had a smile on his face, knowing that that melody and the words would make us rock as if we were in a boat. Hopefully you're not seasick. Let's look to the Gospel of John this morning. I'm not going to read all 17 verses, as I said we would, but I think we'll go down through the 10th verse, please. John 21, verses 1 through 10. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing today of God's holy word in John 21, 1 through 10. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, have you any fish? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he had stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. It has been over a week now since the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he has come to them again to appear to them as he said he would do. The angel who appeared to Mary at the tomb recalled the words the angel had said. Tell the disciples he has risen and gone ahead of you to Galilee. So now it was late in the day, and it was about to become dark outside. And the disciples had gone fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, most commonly known as the Sea of Galilee, but the official Roman name was the Sea of Tiberias, named after the Emperor Tiberius. Dusk had fallen. Commercial fishermen really favored nightfall for finding the best fishing time. And as we just read, it was Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and James and John and a couple of other disciples who had decided to go out to go fishing. Don't you see? That's all they know to do. They're in transition. They remember what Jesus said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, but they didn't quite know what to do with that. They don't really know what to do. Jesus had appeared to them several times, but they were still trying to figure out what they were going to do. What did Jesus want them to do in the first place with this gift of the Holy Spirit? And how would they ever be able to convey the gospel without him with them? Simply, what were they supposed to do? And on top of that, they're not having the best fishing day. They had the wrong bait. Their depth finder wasn't working. They just couldn't seem to catch even one tiny, scrawny little fish. You've had those days when nothing seems to work at all. Have I missed something back there? They said they've had many of those days. Much like the fellow that was out fishing himself. He was having a grand time, having a good fishing day, until he came across a major pest. There was a little girl that was just skipping along the side of the beach and just having the greatest time. And she just really was enjoying herself. And suddenly, she ran to her father. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, there's a man yelling and screaming at me. Well, the father, rather outraged, rather concerned, said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, I was just playing along the beach and I came across these two pretty big fish lying in the sand, and I knew they were going to die if I didn't pick them up and throw them in the water, so I did. That's all. It reminds me of another story, but you know, I'm going to stay here a little while longer, so I'm going to save that one. It was one of those kinds of days for the disciples. All night fishing, and what did they get? Heartache. Pure and simple heartache. And dawn was about to break by this time, and in their exhaustion and frustration out there at the sea, they decide that they're just going to simply come back and row to the shore and call it a day. When suddenly they hear a voice crying out to them, have you any fish? They thought, who is this wise guy? As if he's been watching us and clearly can see, no, we don't have any fish. So they called out, no, and they were rather embarrassed to do that, because after all, this is what they did for a living. Again, that voice, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll find plenty of fish. Right side. Always the place of honor and blessing. So they thought to themselves, well, we got to lose. They threw that heavy net back into the sea. Splash. Heave ho. They brought the net back up, and it was chocked full of fish. 153 to be exact. They felt like dancing all day long and nothing of this sort. And then, by the advice of one stranger, they pull up this heavy net and it's filled to capacity. They felt like dancing a jig. Put your right net in, take your right net out, put your right net in and shake it all about. I asked David to dance that, but he wouldn't do it for me. He's going to stay here a while longer, too. He's going to save that. Well, fish were flopping everywhere, all over the bottom of that boat. And the guys were thinking to themselves, money in the bank this week. After the initial excitement, John looked up to see just who it was they needed to thank for this tremendous, exceptional catch. And when he did, he exclaimed, it is the Lord. Peter exclaimed, excited, ecstatic, looked at the man as if scales had dropped from his eyes, and was ready to plunge into the water and remembered that he needed to put his garment back on, tucked it into his waist, because he was about to approach the master, the rabbi, and that demanded respect. He plunged into the water and made his way toward Jesus. Isn't that like Peter? He's always plunging into something. Well, the other disciples got to shore the old-fashioned way they rowed. And when they did, there was Jesus, who had prepared not breakfast at Tiffany's, but breakfast at Tiberius. Jesus had prepared, don't you see, the table for them once again. This time it didn't represent sacrifice. This time there was no one that was going to be betraying. This time there would be no wine. This time there would be no foot washing, just a cozy fire, some bread, and some fish on the grill. And Jesus prepared a hearty breakfast for those disciples. They were hungry, so he said, bring some of the fish that you caught. Speaking of hearty, it's interesting to note, Peter must have been exceptionally strong because he was the one elected to bring that heavy net full of fish out onto the shore. And the scriptures are very careful to share with us the net was unbroken. Jesus invited them to partake of the meal set before them, and they didn't have to ask who offered this meal for them. They just knew. They just knew. Just like sometimes you just know. A couple of things I want to share with you this morning when I think about this story. The first is this: Jesus' invitation always is with great significance and great love. He was inviting them to break their fast. With Jesus, they no longer had to go without sustenance. The Christian church has a discipline of fasting. Why? Because it is in fasting that we understand and appreciate the value of the blessings of food which God provides. God supplies our nourishment and food. Our modern day term of breakfast is simply another way of saying that God blesses us with the beginning of each day with nourishment. So it seems to me Jesus is not only wanting them to break their fast of not having food to eat, but he's also pointing to something far greater. He wants them to break their fast of their lack of spiritual food. Jesus recognized without him there every moment as he had been for the previous 3 years. They were feeling malnourished in the spirit and were needing that spiritual sustenance. Jesus was going to supply them all the power that they would need for those spiritual blessings. And he would do so through his guiding Holy Spirit. And look at the exchange that happens between Jesus and Peter in the following verses. And it's a necessary exchange if this spiritual food is going to be partaken. Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? A couple of ideas about what that question may mean. Perhaps Jesus looked at the fish, the boat, the nets. Do you love me more than these? In other words, are you willing to leave your career, your level of comfort, your means of support, and devote yourself totally to my people and my kingdom? Or it could be that Jesus looked at the rest of the disciples and said, are you willing to leave all of these disciples, all of your friends behind? For on a night not too terribly long before, Peter had said these words, though they, the disciples, all may fall away because of you, Lord, I will never fall away. Jesus may have been gently reminding Peter how once he claimed that he would always be so loyal, but the courage had failed him to do so. And in Peter's answer now, and there are no more comparisons with the other disciples, he simply says, you know that I love you. Jesus, in his typical grace, gave Peter three chances, don't you see, to cancel out the three denials. No, I don't know him. No, you're mistaken. I was not with them. And here, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And with each proclamation of his love for Jesus, Jesus then reaffirms his faith in Peter as the new leader of the church as he entrusts Peter with the work of the kingdom. Listen to these words: feed my lambs. In other words, take care of the vulnerable. Take care of those who need my grace the most. Women, children, orphans, the poor. The second instruction, the second affirmation that Peter is to lead the church: then tend my sheep. Meaning, lead my people. Supervise them. Enable them to become pastors and share the gospel of the good news. And the final instruction: feed my sheep. Don't just lead them, you see, but then give them the spiritual disciplines they need. Give them my teachings. Help them grow to spiritual maturity. And the second and final thing that I find in this story very apparent is Jesus gives us significant meaning in our lives. He wants us to discover our personal purpose. Knowing Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior is not just about meeting our physical needs, not just about answering those prayers that usually represent something tangible, something we can put our hands onto, but also challenging us to meet our need for fulfillment. Break your fast, Jesus says. Your fasting or abstinence from plunging into the waters of human need. We have that opportunity, especially in our face now, as we will prepare to help out the storm areas. People need to be heard. People need to have basic human needs filled. People need appropriate touch. People need affirmation. They need a word of encouragement. People need fellowship. People need you. And you need them. Whether you are weary, Jesus says, never tire of doing good. For when you do that, you've done it to me. When you feel inadequate, Jesus says, with God, nothing's impossible. Whether you feel overwhelmed, Jesus says, come to me then, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So, my friends, what's the big catch for today? What's served up for breakfast? It's this: Christ is calling you and me forward. And the sustenance he provides to feed the masses through his strength and his spirit. And like Christ, it begins with an invitation. Studies show that about 7 to 8% come to worship because of a certain pastor or the message they see out on the sign. Studies show that 10% come because of location. It really is true, realtors, location, location, location. This church is the anchor for a certain community, many of which come to Asbury because it's anchored right here. But the most telling of all is 75 to 80% go to worship because someone simply invited them to do so. I got a text driving up here this morning just today from a new member of the church that's so excited about this being their church home that they have invited a coworker that also is seeking a church home. Christ gives the initial invitation, but it's not an invitation that's closed. It's an invitation to be spread, as the gospel is the invitation to be spread. So once again, Jesus has set the table, my friends, And he's inviting for you and me to come forward and to break our fast and to be filled with not only this food, but with the Holy Spirit, that we can go forward and be bold in the faith and invite someone to experience Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 12. As we prepare our hearts and minds for the receiving of God's gift, this is an open table. It's not the United Methodist table. It's not Asbury. It's the Lord's table. And all are welcome. And as we come to the table this morning, it's a rather unique time for us. We link our hearts and our hands together with Bologna Methodist Church, who's worshiping and taking Holy Communion at the same time. All of us are receiving God's blessings at this time. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks unto you, he gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do, in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how good it is of you to have prepared this meal. We are thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the example of not only being the great host, but how to receive graciously and then offer to others. So, Father, as we have received this meal, with your love, may we be prepared to go forward and to share that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn of commitment this morning is Go Make of All Disciples 571. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, would care to come forward and make your profession in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so at this time as we stand. Wonderful to be in worship with you today and to share the Holy Sacrament with you as well. It's fishing time, and tonight I cannot think of any easier, low-key way to invite a neighbor or a friend or a co-worker or someone that's just been on your heart to come and enjoy the fellowship of Christ. Sometimes that's the greatest way to just make them feel more comfortable, is to come and enjoy a moment of fellowship. And once they're here and they understand that we're just Christians trying to do the best we can and to love one another, perhaps that might be just that entry that they need to try to find their church home to experience Jesus Christ our Lord. It's fishing time. May we go forward. There's a big sea out there. And the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may we go now in His blessed peace. Amen.